today on Life Talk.
Let me tell you what the devil's really after when you go through a failed expectation. He's after your faith. He wants your faith. The devil's tactic is to go after your faith. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to question God. He wants your faith to weaken in the presence of a failed expectation.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
Nothing takes the wind out of your sails like losing your dream. You worked hard toward that goal, lived for that aspiration, looked forward to the day you would experience the fulfillment of that long-awaited dream, only to see it crash on the rocks of disappointment. What is the Christian to do then? Not only do these types of experiences disappoint us to the max, they can also shake our faith. Where was God, we ask? I thought He gave me that dream. My faith was invested in that vision for my life, so why didn't it come to pass, we wonder. This is why I've called this series Faith Breakers, because sometimes our faith is shaken when we so believe for a certain thing and for whatever reason, it just doesn't happen. The Bible contains many examples of people that experienced this very thing and also tells us how they got past it with their faith intact and even stronger. One such person is Simon Peter, who we will focus on today in our message. So grab your Bible and join me for part two of the message, When Dreams Are Dashed.
I want to talk to you about faith breakers becoming faith makers. We all go through faith breakers, that is, things that challenge our faith, test it, try it, stretch it, challenge it. And how we come through it depends on how we respond to it. And so I want to talk to you about the faith breaker of when dreams are dashed. When dreams are dashed. Now, let's read together Proverbs 13:12. Hope delayed makes the heart sick, but a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Now you got to hear the Message version. Let's look at the Message. Read it with me. Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. You know, we all experience setbacks, disappointments, and frustrated expectations. I know I have. That's a part of life. If you're alive, you're somebody who hopes for certain things, dreams for certain things, has aspirations to certain things. And from time to time, those things don't come to pass like we thought they would. And so we experience a setback, a disappointment, a discouragement, even a disillusionment. Wow, I thought things were going to go this way, and they went this way. I thought that door was going to open, but this one has opened instead, or no door at all. And we wonder what's going on. Let me tell you what the devil is after when you are going through a disappointed hope or a failed expectation. Let me tell you what the devil's after. He's not out to make something go bump in the night or to give you a flat tire. If you got a flat tire, you ran over something. He's not out to give you a flat tire or to give you a headache or to make a little something go wrong in your life. No. Let me tell you what the devil's really after when you go through a failed expectation. He's after your faith. He wants your faith. The devil's tactic is to go after your faith. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to question God. He wants your faith to weaken in the presence of a failed expectation. If God was there, then why didn't He do it? If God honors faith, then why didn't it happen? And the devil attacks your faith. Now, let me prove it to you. I'll prove to you how he does this. You remember when Jesus said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. That's a real strong picture because when they sifted wheat, you would have a pile of wheat grain here and they would take a pitchfork and they would thrust it into that pile and they would heave it up into the air violently so that the wind would blow against it and take the chaff off the wheat. It was a violent, shaking, rattling experience for that wheat. And Jesus says to Peter, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, to toss you into the air and have the wind of adversity hit you. And Jesus said, I have prayed for you, Simon. Now notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, I've prayed that it will not happen. He didn't say, I'm praying, Simon, that the trial doesn't happen. He didn't say that. He says, Simon, I'm praying for you that when you do go through the trial, because I'm not going to block you from going through the trial, Peter, because this apparent faith breaker, Peter, is going to be a faith maker for you. He said, I'm not going to stop you from the trial, but here's what I'm praying, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, you will strengthen the brethren. Peter, you're going to go through something. It's going to look like a faith breaker to you. You're going to think you're losing your faith. You're going to go through a real trial, son. But even though it looks like a faith breaker because I'm praying for you, it's actually going to be a faith maker. When you come out on the other side, you're going to be so much stronger, so much better, so much clearer. You're going to strengthen your brethren. You're going to be a pillar in the house of God. Now, he says, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Here's what Jesus knew. Satan was going to go after his faith. And we know that he did, because what did Peter do when he had denied the Lord and saw Jesus hung on the cross and it looked like everything was falling apart? What did he do? He went back to his old life, back to fishing. He said, I'm going fishing. Translated, I'm going back to my old life, what I used to know. But all night long they fished and they didn't catch anything. And I can tell you, if you ever think about going back to your old life, let me tell you what you're going to get. A great big handful of nothing. Because there is nothing back there in that old life for you. Not one thing. You will come up empty because God will not allow the old life he called you out of to serve you in any way, shape, or form. Our life is in him. Now, Satan knew that if he could steal Peter's faith in Jesus away, he could not only ruin his walk with the Lord, but he could also take out the Lord's star disciple. Because this Simon Peter was called to be the one that when the Holy Spirit fell, he would stand on the day of Pentecost and preach the gospel with fire and 3,000 people would be saved. He would preach again and 5,000 people would be saved. He was called to write 2 epistles in the Lord's sacred word. He was called to be the one who preached the gospel first to the Gentiles and opened the gospel door to the Gentiles. God's hand was on Simon Peter to be the rock, to be the pillar of the church. And Satan knew, if I can get him here in his young life, his young walk, if I can stop him before he really gets started, then I'll take him out. And so Peter said, I see exactly what the devil's trying to do. Peter, he's trying to take away your faith. And so I'm praying your faith does not fail. And every one of you in here going through a trial, things you don't understand, you've had setbacks, disappointments, discouragements, you need to know that there is a Jesus in heaven who is ever living to make intercession for you, and he's praying the same thing. I pray your faith does not fail. And when you've gone through it, you're going to rise up and be a strength to the church, better than you ever were before. It's going to be a faith maker for you. In Jesus' name. Go to another story in the book of Ruth. In the book of Ruth, we read about a very happy Hebrew family made up of 4 people. The daddy was Elimelech. The mama was Naomi. And 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion. These names throw me. Mahlon and Chilion. So you had Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion. Happy Hebrew family. But a famine hit Bethlehem, so they had to flee Bethlehem, and they went to Moab. Moab was a place of false gods, false idols, false religion, false beliefs. Polytheism, they believed in many different gods. They worshiped at the idols of false gods. They were not a godly people. But they moved there because they didn't know what else to do. There wasn't a famine there. So they went. Once in Moab, you read that the 2 boys found 2 wives. Orpah, not Oprah. Orpah and Ruth. Well, so far, so good. Now, Naomi and Elimelech, the parents, have not only 2 sons, but 2 daughters-in-law. But that's when everything began to change. Because soon Naomi's vision of a happy family with grandchildren bouncing on her knee is shattered because the Bible says her husband and two boys died for various reasons, and she is left lying in the ashes of her shattered dream just like Peter. Both Peter and Naomi experienced dashed dreams, shattered hope, disappointed expectations. Both of them, one Old Testament, one New. Now, the second thing the Bible reveals with both stories, think of both stories. Here's what the Bible shows us. In both stories, God had a plan. I want you to say with me, God has a plan. Now, I want you to say it like you mean it. God has a plan. No matter what you're going through, God has a plan. No matter what you've lost, God has a plan. No matter how life has gone, God has a plan. No matter what the devil tries to do to you, God still has a plan. And no flesh on earth, no devil in hell can stop God's plan. God has a plan. And Naomi's grief and disappointment hid from her eyes the fact that God was working out a plan that she could never have imagined in her wildest dreams. What God had in store was so far beyond what she could ever have imagined. Because you see, she had to go to Moab to get Ruth. What looked like a detour turned out to be the hand of God, because God had spotted a little gal in Moab named Ruth, and God had a plan for Ruth that she or Naomi or anyone else on earth could never have imagined. Because you see, he was going to hook her up with Boaz, and they would be married, and they would produce a child. And Ruth was therefore grafted into, by marrying Boaz, grafted into the sacred lineage that would bring forth Messiah Jesus, because she married Naomi's kinsman Boaz. God brought Ruth and Boaz together in marriage. They had a boy named Jesse. Jesse became the father of King David. And out of King David's distant lineage came Joseph of the tribe of Judah, who married Mary, from whom was born Christ Jesus, our Lord. So God said, I'm going to let them, it's going to look like a detour, but I'm going to let them go to Moab, and I'm going to bring Ruth along. And I can't explain it, but somehow in God's sovereignty, he let either Mahlon or Chilion go home. And he brought Ruth to Bethlehem, introduced her to Boaz. Boaz was of the tribe of Judah, of the sacred lineage. When she married him, she got grafted into God's eternal plan. This is heavy stuff. Heavy stuff. Got grafted into God's, and when they brought forth Jesse, Jesse was the father of King David. Followed the lineage all the way down. And Joseph, who married Mary, brought the whole scenario into the tribe of Judah. And Jesus was born of the tribe of Judah. God had a plan no one could have imagined. But God worked out plan A, not plan B, not plan C, but plan A. And what looked like confusion was God working out his plan. Trust him. He had a bigger and better plan than Peter and Naomi could have ever seen. And even when you fail, out of the ashes of personal failure, God will still work out his plan. Everybody say with me, he's a great big God.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
So dreams are often dashed, but God still has a plan. And there's one last thing I want to say about this. God works out his plan in his way and in his timing, not yours. One of my favorite Bible verses is Jeremiah 29:11. Because it's a hope verse, and it has brought me out of the ashes many, many times. But let me read it to you. God says, I know the thoughts I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. And he spoke that to a people who had miserably failed God. Now, I got to read to you out of the Message Bible. I don't like paraphrases always, but this is too good to pass up. This verse in the Message Bible says, I'll show up and take care of you. Everybody say, he'll show up. Now listen to what God promises. I'll show up and take care of you as I promised. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Can I just pull the main things out? Listen to this. I'll show up. I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. I'll take care of you. You've got a future in me. I want us to say it together. Say, he'll show up. He knows what he's doing. He's got it planned out. He'll take care of me. My future is in him. Give God praise today. Go ahead and give him a hand. Just look at what happened in Peter's experience. We saw what happened. Watch this. Jesus rose from the dead. His dream got up from the dead. Appeared to over 500 people for 40 days and ascended into heaven, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and soon coming conquering King. And look what happened to Naomi. Oh, this is so powerful. Here's Naomi. Don't call me pleasant. Call me bitter. Look what God did. When these women who had first greeted her, and she said, don't call me pleasant, call me bitter. Once Ruth and Boaz had the baby, then here's what these women said to Naomi. Blessed be God. He didn't leave you without family to carry on your life. May this baby grow up to be famous in Israel. And he did. He'll make you young again. He'll take care of you in old age. And this daughter-in-law who has brought him into the world and loves you so much, why, she's worth more to you than seven sons. God had a plan bigger than Peter and Naomi's plans. And he worked out his plan in his own way, in his timing. And he can do the same thing with you. If you're let down today, now let me just talk to you personally, right to you. I'm talking right to you. Forget about everybody around you. Let me talk right to you. I don't know everyone here, but I know human beings, and I know many of you are in a struggle, a frustrated expectation. You've been pregnant with vision. You can't seem to have the baby. You're struggling. Your faith is being tried and tested. You're like Peter. You've been thrown up in the air and you're being sifted like wheat. Let me talk right to you. God has a plan. And how to respond when you're disappointed is clearly given to us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know the verse. Don't even turn there. Let me just read it to you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Let me break that up just for a minute. When your dreams fail, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with every nook and cranny and crevice of your soul. Trust in the Lord with all. Everybody say all. All your heart. Trust him with all your heart. When you don't understand God's hand, trust God's heart. Trust his character, his goodness, his mercy, his compassion, his power, his sovereignty. Trust him. He's not a man that he can lie. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He will do right by you. Let God be true. In every man, in every emotion, in every circumstance, a liar. Let God be true. Boy, I feel like preaching a little bit here today. Second, don't lean on your own understanding. You don't see the whole picture like he does. Can I say that again? You do not see the whole picture like he does. God sees the whole picture. You only see a little bitty part of it. Listen to Paul. We can see and understand only a little about God now. Now all that I know is hazy and blurred. King James says we see through a glass darkly. But when he comes again or I go to him, I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees my heart right now. You don't see what he sees. You know, my daughter used to have an aquarium. And I used to love to go into her room and turn off all the lights and shut the shades and pull up a chair to that aquarium. And you know, the aquarium's got a light on the inside. And I loved being in a dark room looking inside that little aquarium at the fish swimming around because it was therapeutic and it was comforting for me. But one night I started thinking, those fish are in that little aquarium. That's the only world they know. They have no idea that sitting in a chair just outside the aquarium is a being, me, that they can't see, looking at them, watching them, every day dropping food into their tank, providing for them, caring for them, watching over them. All they know is their little aquarium. They have no idea that I'm out there looking in. You know what Paul's telling us? He's telling us we're all in an aquarium, and we can't see beyond that aquarium. We think we can. We think we're so brilliant, so bright, but you know what? We can't see our hand in front of our face most times. Most of what God does, you're never aware of because he's outside the aquarium looking in. And I started thinking one night, maybe there was a rumor among the fish because sometimes I had to thrust my hand in and move things around and clean out the aquarium and move their house a little bit and change the gravel around and clean things up. And there were some of them that my hand touched. And I imagine some of them going, oh, have you felt the hand? So you had atheist fish who had never touched my hand. And then you had believers who had been touched by my hand. Because when my hand went in, some of the fish were touched and some were not. And so you had a controversy going on inside the tank. Do you believe in the hand? I don't believe in the hand. Well, I felt the hand. I was just walking along one day, minding my own. And, oh, it touched me. It touched me. All of a sudden, a hand came into the aquarium. A hand reached down, and you can say what you want, but I know what I felt. I felt that hand. It's real. That hand touched me. I'm a believer now. And I know that since the hand touched me, there's got to be something attached to the hand. So there is a being outside our world. Come on, everybody. There's a being outside our world. And so I believe in the hand that is attached to the arm, that is attached to the man. Yes. See, some of you just need to get touched. Some of you are sitting out there, oh, I just don't think that I believe. Oh, one of these days, the hand's going to come into your tank. One of these days, the hand is going to come into your tank, and he's going to touch you. And you're going to go, oh, I believe now. I felt the hand. Oh, hallelujah. I felt the hand. But now here's my point with all this. He's telling us, he's saying, don't lean on your own understanding because all you can see is the aquarium. Those fish didn't know that outside the aquarium was a being sitting in a great big room, in a great big house, in a great big city, in a great big unfathomable world. They know so little. And so do you. Thank God for the word that tells me things I would never know without the word. So trust the word and its promises, not what your natural eye sees or doesn't see, because you can't see it all. He's moving in ways you can't see. He's setting you up for a blessing in ways you can't see. He's already working on your behalf in ways you can't see. You're in the aquarium. He closes out, and all your ways acknowledge him. That means submit to him. So when I'm in a failed expectation, and I've experienced that many, many times, I just knew God was going to do a certain thing. And either it tarried or it didn't happen the way I thought it was going to because I had misinformed faith. But now, when I've experienced it, you can do one of two things. You can walk away from God, walk away from church, be bitter like Naomi, and play your violin, or submit to him. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your path. So I say, Lord, don't understand what happened. I don't understand it, but Lord, I submit to you because I believe in the sovereignty of God, that even when I'm wrong, he's right. Even when I miss it, he won't. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he will not be utterly cast down, but the Lord will guide him with his hand.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners like you to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111. Or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.